everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to the NHSCA Sports Hour. This show airs every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/nhsca.htm. And don't forget to follow Artists First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now on to the show.
Good evening, high school sports fans. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour for March the 1st. I'm Jeff Fisher, founder and editor-in-chief of High School Football America, settling in for 2 hours worth of high school sports talk right here on the Artists First Radio Network this evening. After we wrap up here on the NHSCA Sports Hour, we move directly into High School Football America at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Great lineup of guests for you tonight. Basketball and wrestling taking center stage on the show this evening. We'll start things out with an incredible story out of Alabama, Prattville High School's Justin Levins is a wrestler, a heavyweight wrestler, and a darn good one. But what sets him apart from everybody else in this country is the fact that he wrestles without feet and only one hand. He is quite a story, and Justin will stop by to talk about that on the show this evening. We'll then head to Texas, where a story of a Jewish Orthodox school basketball team has caught the nation's fancy as they've had to forfeit their state semifinal championship game because they will not play on the Sabbath, which is part of what they will not do at the school, and the Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools is not bending its rules, so head coach Chris Cole will stop by to talk about the latest on that. Chris has been all over the news in the New York Times on Outside the Lines with Bob Lee on ESPN, and coach Chris Cole will join us to talk about the latest in the saga at the Barron Academy in Houston, Texas. We'll wrap up with Willie Saylor, who was with us last week. He is the editor of The Open Mat and the recruiting analyst for WIN Magazine, and Willie's going to take a look at the schedule this week ahead in the championships in high school wrestling. Willie did a great job last week, and one of the stories he'll talk about is how Blair Academy out of New Jersey wrapped up another, its 10th national championship last weekend. That and more coming up tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour, so we hope you stick around with us. Want to thank our sponsors on tonight's show, CrossCountryNation.com, which is XCNation.com, Dr. Jared Spencer, Mind of the Athlete, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dollemure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to kick things off with a great story out of Alabama. We are going to talk with Justin Levins, the heavyweight wrestler at Prattville High School, who's getting it done and inspiring his teammates, community, and opponents all in one fell swoop. That story and more when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artists First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy, accelerate your life.
Going to start things off on the NHSCA Sports Hour this evening with a wonderful story out of Alabama. We told you a little bit about it last week, and Justin Levins is going to be here to talk about it tonight. Justin is a wrestler for Prattville High School in Alabama, and makes him a little different because at the young age of under 1 year old, he was battling pneumonia and had both of his feet amputated. He has one hand, and he's one of the top wrestlers in the state. He's a heavyweight wrestler, and Justin joins us right now to talk about his story. Welcome to the show, Justin. Absolutely. Well, it's one of those stories that when I first read it, I believe I read it on Max Preps, I kind of rubbed my eyes a little bit and said, am I really reading this? So let's kind of, you know, start from the beginning. Obviously, you have some handicaps, but you've overcome all of them, a disability, I don't know what you call it. But what kind of got you started in the sport of wrestling?
Football. Coach Gibbons, strength and conditioning coach, told me to play football. Wrestle in the off season, stay in shape, and it just kind of stuck.
It's as simple as that. Well, let me ask you this. So at what point did you really understand in your own life that, you know, you were different and you had some things that you had to overcome and that you just weren't going to let that stop you?
Pretty early on, I had to figure it out. About fifth grade, probably.
What were some of the things that were there for you early on, whether it was a coach, your parents, that kind of helped you? Because, again, I'm not trying to make this all about the disability, obviously, but who were the people that were there early on? You mentioned the coaches and all that, but how did they help you? What were some of the things that they said to you to say, hey, Justin, you can do this?
Family, definitely. My dad got me started in football. He wanted me to do something extracurricular to make friends and, I guess, fit in more, and it helped a lot. And then as I got to high school, just making friends who supported me.
We're talking with Justin Levins tonight on the NHSCA Sports Hour. He's a heavyweight wrestler at Prattville High School. Had a wonderful season this year. He won 36 matches and 29 of them by pin. Again, pointing out, he does it without feet. His feet were amputated when he was a young boy and with one hand. So kind of describe for the listeners, if you can, Justin, because I think a lot of people, as they will listen to this, will say, how does this happen? So can you explain a little bit, about your agility? Let's talk about when you're there on the mat. How are you able to get around and move and make the wrestling moves that you have to make?
When I first started out, it was kind of difficult, but I just had to learn how to make my own moves to work better for me.
At what point in your career of wrestling did it kind of sink into you that, you know what, this is no longer about, getting in shape and that? I'm pretty darn good out here. Did you have one match or one moment where you realized that, wow, this is pretty darn special?
It's sophomore year. When you start winning matches, it's a big confidence boost.
Can you remember that first match that you won? Can you kind of recall it to this day?
Not really. I've had so many. I remember the first tournament that I won. That was the Cass Classic.
Tell me about that. Why does it stand out in your mind to this day?
I wasn't really expecting it. I didn't think I was that good. And it was the first medal I've ever won, and it was first, so...
Well, the first one's always the sweetest. Your wrestling coach, Trent Miller, wrote me a very nice note, several things about you, and I've also read him saying that he didn't quite know what to expect when he saw you come out there on the wrestling mat and all that. So what was your first time with a coach like? I mean, was there one of those things where, like, hey, coach, don't worry, I got this? Or describe your relationship a little bit.
Well, at first he just kind of let me do my thing, and then... As I started to get better, he would try to help me out, show me some stuff that would help me out.
So I said at the beginning, and it's tough when I'm in this job and you don't quite know how to introduce you. And like I said, I'm not sure if the words handicap, disability, how do you describe yourself to somebody that comes up to you and says, how do you do this? I mean, do you use either of those words, or and if you don't, what word do you use to describe yourself?
I don't use those words. I don't really describe myself in any way. I just tell them what happened and go on.
From a standpoint of inspiration, and this is one of the things Coach Trent Miller wrote me, he just said you're such an inspirational young man, and it's not just to wrestlers on your team or fellow wrestlers, it's all around the school and all that. When you hear somebody describe you as inspirational, how does that make you feel, and what do you feel that you're inspirational?
It has a little pressure. Because I feel like I have more eyes on me. I gotta do a lot better.
Tell me a little bit about some of your opponents and all that. You know, obviously, in sport, it's all about winning. It's not, like you said, you don't describe yourself as having anything. You're just another wrestler out there getting the job done. Tell me about some of these opponents that come out there. Have you ever had a situation where, you know, maybe your opponent came out thinking that he kind of had, you know, a little bit more than you, and you were able to beat him? Have you had to overcome any of that sort of stuff in your career?
Yeah, I have people who, I can see the way they look at me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some people who are really scared.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think back to last year on the show, we had a young woman from Alaska. Her name's Hope Stephenson, and she became the first the second girl in Alaska to win a state championship in a boys' tournament. And she said the same thing. You know, people just kind of look at it a different way, and it's like, well, I don't want to get beaten by a girl, that sort of thing. So it's probably the same but different in that case. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what you do to enjoy yourself away from, you know, sports. Obviously, you love sports, but what are some of the things you do to chill and enjoy life?
Well, wrestling takes up a lot of time, so I don't have time for much, but when I'm not wrestling, I'm either golfing during the summer or during the winter hunt.
So it's all about sports for you, and I would assume every time somebody sees you, they you just keep wowing them. If you had a young man or a young woman in front of you, you know, just like you grew up, I don't know if you had anybody that was, you know, in the same situation as you that you could talk to, but if you had someone that had something that's, you know, a little different, what type of advice would you give them about, you know, from your own personal experience that could help them maybe, you know, not go through what you've had to go through?
Well, being surrounded by good friends and sports has helped me a lot. Get closer to people.
Now, as far as the future, what does the future hold for you? Is this are you going to try and compete at the collegiate level? Can you kind of shed a little light on that for the listeners?
I'm not sure about that yet. I'm planning on going to South Alabama to become a physical therapist.
Wow, so that, can I make the assumption that the reason for that is based upon what you've gone through as a young man?
Yeah, I feel like I can relate to people more.
Sure, no, that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, final question is, as I let you go here, as far as your teammates and your coach and all that, once again, because you know you've been so inspirational, you know, to them, you know, how have they in any way, shape, or form been inspirational to you? Can you put that into words?
Well, just ever since I first came out, they were. They were very supportive, and that helped me out a lot. So I didn't just back out and quit.
Well, Justin, it's been a pleasure having you on the show here and learning a little bit more about you. I can't even, you know, imagine what you've gone through, but to read what I've read and see some of the stories on television from down in Alabama and now get to meet you personally, I can understand why everybody considers you an inspiration. So thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. That is Justin Levins of Prattville High School, one of the most inspirational wrestlers around. And we're going to put a little story up on our blog so you can find out a little bit more about Justin. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more high school wrestling. We're going to talk with Willie Saylor, the editor of The Open Mat. That and more when we come back. This is the NHSCA Sports Hour.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
The Navy Seahawk helicopter has a lift capacity of over 6,000 pounds. But when it comes to helping those around the world who need it most, they lift the hopes of millions. To learn more about how the Navy is the best place to do great things,
call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. It will do you and the world a load of good. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Back here on the NHSCA Sports Hour tonight, we had him on last week, and we're going to have him on again this week because wrestling is reaching the crescendo across the nation, and Willie Saylor is the editor of The Open Mat and the recruiting analyst for WIN Magazine, and he joins me now to talk about the week that was and what's ahead. Welcome to the show again, Willie.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me. It's Busy couple weeks here for wrestling.
Yeah, it is. As a matter of fact, I'm in Atlantic City right now. I told the listeners that at the top of the show. New Jersey States are here this weekend, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But let's talk about a New Jersey school that, kind of ran the table is the best way to put it, I guess. Blair Academy won its 32nd consecutive National Prep Championship last weekend. I know you were there at Lehigh University. So you talked about it last weekend, that Buccaneer squad is pretty darn good. They lived up to the expectations. So what were some of the highlights of last weekend?
Highlights, as a team, Blair tied records with nine champions and 11 finalists. They scored in the neighborhood, I think it was 354 team points, which was shy of the record of 401, but the format had been changed. It used to be 64 man brackets and now it's 32, so there's a limited ability to score some of those extra round points. So we're talking about an almost historic performance by Blair. Mm-hmm. There
and it's not going to go down next year either with what three of the nine champs are only seniors, so the rest of it's below that.
Yep, most of them, they're all back. Off the top of my head, they lose Mark Gray. Mark Gray became a four-timer, only the 10th ever to win four national prep champions. And Todd Preston, who wrestled perhaps the bout of the year as far as intensity, that was his third, and he graduates also. There, people after that Todd Preston match, people had to actually decompress because it was so intense. People had goosebumps. People were nervous. It was a great, great atmosphere at Stabler Arena.
Well, explain the match a little bit for them, because I know Todd Preston was actually hospitalized two, 3 days before the tournament.
Yeah, he was in the hospital. It was kidney stones, they weren't sure what it was at the time when he first came down with the symptoms. And he was laid up in the hospital, went to the hospital, ambulance. They weren't sure if he was going to wrestle. In fact, the Blair team tried to put in an alternate because they didn't think he was going to go. Mm-hmm. And then he came around and said, "No way, I'm wrestling in my final tournament." And he went out there and won it. But in the final, he was wrestling a really good kid, a sophomore from Maryland named Alfred Bannister, who Preston had beat 1-0 in the finals of Beast of the East earlier this year. And in the prep finals, it went to double overtime, ride out, and there was a lot of different scoring opportunities throughout the match that were near takedowns and near scores, and it was just a really electric atmosphere. The whole arena was checking it out and hanging on every move.
So 32 straight, head coach Jeff Buxton, who we've had on the show and, of course, is a part of the NHSCA, 22 of those under him. We didn't talk about him last week. Give me a little bit of your thoughts on where Jeff stacks up in wrestling lore and wrestling history as far as, one of the best. How would you put him into that category?
Oh, he's obviously right at the top of the food chain. Other people from other places will make a case for their guy, but Jeff Buxton among the number one coaches ever. I mean, the sheer number of not just at the high school level, but the sheer number of kids that he puts in to NCAAs, mm-hmm. Division I, that have success at the next level. And you know what I like about Coach Buckson's style and just overall success is that you see a lot of programs that are good, okay? You know, some teams have their dynasties, and they teach their kids to wrestle in a sort of maybe a formulaic way to win high school matches. I mean, they figure out a way to win high school matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they go on and they don't do much. Like, Coach Buxton doesn't just teach his kids how to win high school matches. He teaches them to be good wrestlers, and there's a difference. There's little nuances to it, and there's philosophy differences. And Buxton not only coaches his kids to win now, he coaches his kids to win later. And he coaches his kids to be the best that they can down the line, and that's something I've really been impressed with.
Yeah, leader of young men. We're talking with Willie Saylor tonight, the editor of The Open Mat. That's theopenmat.com, and recruiting analyst for WIN Magazine. And let's, before we look ahead, some big states doing some things last week. I think we talked about it a little bit. It's a little odd in, like, Illinois, where they do the individual championships and then do the team duels and all that. So tell us a little bit about what happened in the Midwest with Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan, where a lot of championships held last weekend.
Illinois Martini in 2A is probably the best team in the state, and you know, they like you said, they have the duels after the individual tournament, which is a little different from the format that most states are set up in. But another thing that they do a little different is they don't keep a team score for their individual championships. Martini would have won going away at the individual state tournament. They had nine placers and a couple champs. And then in the dual tournament last weekend, they just pretty much rolled everybody, lopsided scores all the way through. In 3A, it was a little tighter. Oak Park, River Forest, and Carl Sandburg. Carl Sandburg coming out on top. So those were your big... Those were your state champions in Illinois. In Indiana, Perry Meridian had won the state individual tournament 2 weeks ago, and last week they won again in the duels. I have them ranked 12th in the country, and you know, some of these state athletic associations have weird rules where you can't travel too much out of state. But I really wish I could have seen Perry Meridian, because they're solid all the way through the lineup. Michigan actually has three teams ranked in my top 25, and they have four divisions. Detroit Catholic Central won the dual tournament in the big school division, Division One. Division Two was Lowell, who I have ranked 23rd. They lost in the finals to St. John's, who I have ranked 7th. St. John's has Fargo All-Americans up and down their lineup, just a really impressive squad. They have one loss this year. The only loss was to St. Edwards. That's the only blemish on their record.
And that's not a bad one if you're going to get blemished by. That's a pretty darn good team, as you mentioned last week, where you think they could be one of the best ever. A couple of other states before we get on to this weekend. Oklahoma, Tulsa Union, Broken Arrow, two of the great schools, no matter what sport, in the state of Oklahoma, kind of battling each other all year. How'd that turn out?
You know, Broken Arrow, they've been good for decades and decades. Back when I wrestled in the late 90s, they're always at Ironman. They were at Reno, and they had great programs back then, and it still goes on, you know, 15 years later. Tulsa Union was considered the best team in the state last year, and Broken Arrow ended up beating them for the state title. And this year, Broken Arrow was sort of the number one team. They had beat Union in the Geary tournament earlier in the year, and then Tulsa Union kind of turns the table and upsets them in their duel and in their dual state finals, and then Broken Arrow comes back and beats them by about 12 points 15 points, something like that, for the state individual title. So those two teams going back and forth, and I don't usually do this, but I just put them tied at 20 in the team rankings because they've battled back and forth, and they're really even. So I just put them both at 20.
Let's talk about the Cheesehead State there. Yeah, they love Packers, but they also love their wrestling. There's a pretty good school there. I noticed in your email newsletter this week that you talked about that put half of their lineup in the state finals. Not bad. Tell us a little bit about that squad.
Wisconsin Rapids, you know, they've been ranked in the top 25 for 4 or 5 years straight now, and they're really a good deep tournament team. They had a little trouble off the mat, actually, and what their school district did was say, you know, we're gonna cut back your scheduling this year as kind of like a punishment. So they couldn't wrestle the national schedule that they typically do. So they flew a little under the radar, and they're spotty. They're good in the middle to upper weights, starting at about 138. They put everybody from 138 to 195 in the state finals.
Wow.
Which is just mind-blowing, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it hurt them in duels, but in a tournament format, they're really good. A lot of their kids going to Division I schools. They're 195 pounder Devin Peterson. I have ranked number one in the country. He won Fargo in both styles the last 2 years, so 4 Fargo crowns for him in 2 years.
Not bad at all. Let's look ahead and just remind our listeners we're talking with Willie Saylor of the Open Mat, the editor there, and recruiting analyst for Win Magazine. Pretty big weekend ahead, as I mentioned at the top. I'm in Atlantic City, not for the wrestling championships, but we all know that the Boardwalk is a place to be if you're a wrestler in New Jersey at this time of year. California, Ohio, Minnesota, of all, you know, competing this weekend for individual championships. Kind of give a little thumbnail sketch across the board there. I know we talked about California and how much you've loved it last week. Ohio is Ohio. Jersey is Jersey. Don't know as much about Minnesota, but you touched on Apple Valley and all that. So what are some of the things that wrestling fans should be looking for in those states this weekend?
You know, it's kind of neat how the wrestling season plays out, and it just kind of stars align this way. The state associations don't get together and figure out their schedules, but it just sort of works out that some of the best states are saved for last. New Jersey and California, two of my favorites, and they're both just one class systems, so just one champion at every weight. They're both this weekend. Ohio's this weekend, Michigan's this weekend, and Minnesota. Minnesota has 3 classes. The big school is dominated by Apple Valley. They're pretty much roll through that. The most competitive is actually the middle division in 2A, where you have great depth from 106 to heavyweight. In fact, at heavyweight, there is 3 guys in Minnesota 2A at heavyweight that I have ranked in the top 7 of the country.
Hmm.
So that's going to be just insane bracket.
Well, let's wrap up. I don't want to give it away because we'll have you on the show next week, but as you put it in your newsletter there, the granddaddy of them all, it's like the Rose Bowl, I guess. Pennsylvania, your hometown state, my hometown state. We know what it's like to go to Hershey. Just give us a little sneak peek because, of course, we got to get some kids through this weekend to get there, but I know we talked about Cannon McMillan last week. What other teams are out there? I know Bethlehem Catholic has been on your radar all year in your rankings, so just don't give it all away. Just a little sneak peek.
Well, you named the top two, or the top team in each class, Bethlehem Catholic and Cannon McMillan. And, you know, just the way the things are playing out, they could probably set records, each of them. They're going to get so many kids through to the States, and that's saying something alone in Pennsylvania's qualifying system. It's tough to even get there. other teams, I don't know if anybody can really go with them. Erie McDowell out of District 6 is tough, and they'll probably get a lot of kids through because District 6 isn't the toughest district in the world. But as far as rivaling Cannon McMillan in state placers, I don't think that that's going to happen. But it's like a Super Bowl down there in Hershey, and everything's going to be exciting, and there's going to be upsets that you didn't see coming, and we'll have raucous crowds, and I'm really looking forward to it. And, I'll come back and hopefully we can recap that. Well, maybe next week we'll preview it and then recap it after that. But, like you said, it comes to a crescendo in the high school wrestling world, and it's going to be a good time.
Well, we're going to put you on the payroll, although there's no money associated with that. But we're going to have you back here over the next couple of weekends. We appreciate you taking the time to get the listeners up to speed and enjoy the weekend. Where are you this weekend, though? Where have you decided to go? Or are you just sitting back and watching the internet?
For the next 2 days, I'll probably be scoreboard watching in Ohio, New Jersey, Minnesota, California. Friday evening, I go to EIWA's, and they're at Princeton, one of my favorite events to cover, real embodiment of student athletes down there, great fans, the Lehigh Cornells of the world, and, just a really great atmosphere. I love covering that. And there'll be EIWAs this weekend and Hershey the following weekend and NCAAs in 2 weeks. So it's a real hectic time of the year, but a real exciting time of the year. What more can you ask for from a wrestling fan?
Yeah, no, it's a good 3 weekends, 4 weekends, 5 weekends in a row, whatever you want to look at. But again, thanks a lot, and we're going to have you back next week and preview Pennsylvania and talk a little bit about what happened in this weekend's championship. So have a good week. Enjoy the EIWAs, and we'll speak to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep, you're welcome. That is Willie Saylor, the editor of the Open Mat and the recruiting analyst for WIN Magazine. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. You're listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
Fintech USA Electronic Percussion. American-made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Fintech and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Fintech if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Fintech, USA.
The NHSCA Sports Hour coming to you tonight from Atlantic City in New Jersey. We're here for the 75th Gala of the Maxwell Football Club, which will take place tomorrow night at Harrah's, and just a wonderful, wonderful event. They've been honoring the National Player of the Year in college football in the NFL for quite some time. For the last 5 years, they've been doing it in high school football, so we're here for that, and we'll hear more about the gala coming up on High School Football America, the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We want to remind all of you that the National High School Coaches Association National Wrestling Championships will be held later on this month in Virginia Beach. Go to NHSCA.com to learn more. And as you heard us mention in the last segment, the Open Mat's Willie Saylor will be here throughout the month of March to get us ready for our big national championship coming up at the end of the month. So stay tuned for Willie in the coming weeks. And again, if you want more information on the championships, NHSCA.com has all the information for you. Now we're going to turn our attention to the final interview of the evening, and this is a story out of Texas that has picked up a lot of national media attention. It started with the New York Times. It spread to ESPN. It's been just about everywhere, and we're going to have head coach Chris Cole of the Robert M. Barron Academy in Houston on the show in just a little bit. It's actually an interview that we taped earlier in the day today, and to set the scene for the interview itself, the school, which is a private Jewish Orthodox day school, was set to play in the Friday semifinals in the Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools 2A Basketball Championships. Now, no big deal with that, except for the fact that the school does not play its basketball games once the Sabbath begins from sundown on Friday evening until sundown on Saturday evening. Now, the game with Covenant School in Dallas, scheduled for 9 o'clock tomorrow night, caused a problem. And basically, TAPS, which is the Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools, said, we will not change the game. If the school cannot play at 9 o'clock on a Friday evening, then they will forfeit, and we will put the team that they beat to get to the semifinals into that position. Well, lo and behold, as can only happen in situations like this, little Barron Academy, the underdog, and everybody has stepped up. Former NBA head coach Jeff Van Gundy making a call to TAPS to say that he didn't agree with this. The mayor of Houston saying she was very disappointed with the decision. And up until about 1 o'clock Eastern time today, it appeared as though Barron Academy did not have a chance to play in the semifinals, and then there was another question that if they got to the championship game, would they be able to play it on Saturday night? And it looks like at this point, according to head coach Chris Cole, who we're going to hear from in just a few minutes with the interview that we did around 1:15 Eastern time, it looks as though TAPS is going to change its rules, and what they're going to try and do is have Barron Academy possibly play around 2 o'clock on Friday, which means they can get the game in before sundown, and means that will give them a shot to try and play for the 2A championship. So Chris Cole, who's been doing a lot of media interviews, finally found a little bit of a window to talk to us. And literally, we got him on the phone right around the time when he said that TAPS was going to change its rules. And here's that interview.
Basically, from what we've heard, that there's a possibility that TAPS is, so we know that TAPS is working on trying to get the games rescheduled. It seems to be that there was a group of parents from our team who on their own, without really the support of the school, had gone and filed something in the courts, and that has caused TAPS to reconsider their position.
So if all goes according to plan, you will be playing at some point on Friday. That is, if TAPS changes. So let's talk a little bit about that and things that are in your control right now. I guess I read earlier that you guys did not stop practicing. So as a coach right now, knowing that you may now have that game back on, how are you handling this with the kids, and how will you deliver the message, and what will the focus be at practice today?
Well, I haven't really spoken with them. I mean, we're pretty see the excitement. I've gotten several text messages, and we've tried to kind of keep them calm and just understand that, it's time to focus. We actually didn't practice yesterday. We actually told the team, that it looked like that was it, and that it seemed pretty bleak, not knowing what was going to happen at that time. We told them that, as far as the school stood and as far as I stood, that we're not going to take of legal action. So that was not something that we were hoping that it was done as far as that goes. We were hoping that TAPS was going to make that decision on their own and see our side of it and reconsider.
So let's talk a little bit about how your life has changed over the last week. As I said at the beginning of the show here about 15 minutes ago, obviously your life changed in a big way when the New York Times comes calling, when you're on Outside the Lines on ESPN and all that. It changes. What's this week been like for you, and what have you learned about this week, aside from the fact of what you've had to go through to try and get your team back to the semifinals?
Sure, it's a challenge. I realize I don't want to be famous. There's no doubt about that. that, you know, I think just initially there was some disappointment. You know, when the New York Times came, you know, the focus of the story and in all the media at that time was that no Jewish team had ever won a state championship. And so I think that excitement and just that knowledge, you know, put a lot of different things out there. I had a lot of press come in at the time. And then, you know, when the story broke that they had denied our appeal, you know, life kind of changed in a different way. And the fact that the kids started getting a lot of recognition, you know, we were very concerned about how they, you know, would handle all of that. Practices that we did have, to be real honest with you, were not quality practices, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, camera crews and things like that. On one hand, they're working hard, but on the other hand, you know, they're doing more for the cameras. We joke around. They joked actually yesterday whenever I came in to tell them it looked like we had exhausted all possibilities and we weren't practicing. They kind of joked with me that they weren't going to practice because there were no cameras available at the practice. So, you know, they're funny, they're good kids, and they've handled it in stride. But it's just been trying to get focused and trying to stay on task. I think the media attention kind of masked some of the disappointment. I do think we were disappointed at the same time. We were secure in what we stood for. And so, you know, it really hasn't had time to sink in. I'll be real honest. I never in my wildest dreams imagined today would turn in the way that it did. And maybe that's me being naive, but, you know, it didn't seem like a possibility.
Sure. What speaking of, you know, things that have happened, Houston's mayor comes out in support of you, saying very disappointed. Former NBA coach, now TV analyst, Jeff Van Gundy, coming out and making a phone call. What do you want to say to all the people from the celebrity types and the mayors right down to John Q. Public and the smallest of people that have come out in support of you? What could you say if you had one-on-ones with all of those people about what they've done to support?
Well, we appreciate all the support. I think it ranges from, you know, phone calls from Gundy, just thinking that was, you know, pretty cool, all the way down to getting emails from people that you don't even know in a state that you don't, you know, you never even been to, of a religious background that you're not familiar with, who's just saying the same thing. You know, basically that we support you, we applaud you, you know, we feel like, you know, the right thing to do is to change the time. And I think those things are more touching. Last night, one of our administrators sent out just kind of a section on comments, and it was so long. There were so many comments based on, you know, just people reaching out, making phone calls, and it's just amazing how this got legs and just grew.
Talking with Chris Cole, the head coach of Barron Academy, it looks like at this point that they're in, and we're taping this interview, so we're going to kind of give you when we come out of this exactly what happened. But that being said, fast forward to Friday night, or Friday afternoon, I should say. There's a slip. But anyway, the long and the short of it is, how do you think what's happened here and the media attention, the fact that you're back in, how will you be able to mold that into sort of a little bit of a momentum going into that opening tip-off?
It's going to be tough. I mean, to be real honest with you, even in the practices that we had, we kind of weren't focused on anything. I mean, as far as the game plan goes, we know nothing about our opponent. And it's going to be a struggle for them, maybe, to you know, learn about us. So I don't know how that's going to work. It's an uncomfortable situation, I think, for everybody. And that's why I think we were hopeful that this would have been taken care of improved on Monday. And, you know, just like the logistics was the reason, and you know, obviously, if we're able to do it now, we were able to do it Monday, and it could have, you know, saved a lot of that as far as, you know, everybody preparing and getting ready, and you know, focusing on what the task at hand is.
And I think the last thing, and this is just on a personal note, and I've read a lot, but I thought that interview you did on Outside the Lines was incredible. I know you said earlier you know you don't want to be a celebrity right now, but you know, congratulations on really handling this with a lot of class. Like I said before we started taping this, there's nothing in the manual that says this is how you do this when this comes up. So congratulations on what you've been able to accomplish to this point as a team and going through this, and now maybe having that shot to grab that gold medal come Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Just to reiterate, that was an interview I did with Barron Academy head coach Chris Cole around 1:15 Eastern time today, right around the time they found that TAPS was going to change its rules. If you missed the beginning of that interview, what Chris said was an independent citizens group separate from the school threatened legal action, and TAPS has decided that it will, instead of making them forfeit and not have a shot at going for a 2A championship in boys basketball, they will change the start time to somewhere around 2 o'clock on Friday, which is tomorrow, and allow the team to play for a championship. I think it's just a wonderful thing that TAPS has decided to make the change. What I'm very disappointed in is the fact that there had to be legal action threatened to get to this point. It's really about these student athletes and giving them an opportunity. And the reason I say that I'm just really glad that TAPS is changing it, but disappointing that they didn't do it on their own, is the Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools does have a rule that states that athletic events cannot take place on Sunday for Christian events, and I think there was kind of an inadequacy there. TAPS at the beginning did say, well, you know, Barron Academy knew about this when they joined TAPS, but bottom line is it's all being sorted out. We thank Chris Cole for taking the time to join us here, and if you missed any of the interview, don't forget the NHSCA Sports Hour is always archived, usually within 24 hours of the show, so you can go to artistfirst.com, click on NHSCA Sports Hour to listen to all of our former broadcasts free and on demand. It's a great way to listen to some of the great stories that we've told over the last 18 months as I took over as the host of the National High School Coaches Association Sports Hour. Going to take a break, wrap things up when we come back. You are listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artist First Radio Network.
The hottest technology in the world isn't being developed in Silicon Valley. In the United States Navy, more top-secret technologies are being created than ever before. Incredible machines, made of stealth materials that fly by themselves. The only problem with these incredible technologies? It's a shame the enemy can't see them. To learn more, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to the NHSCA Sports Hour. Especially want to thank all of our guests on tonight's show. Reminder to you that coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to switch it over to all football. High School Football America comes your way at 7 o'clock at the top of the hour. Remember, if you missed any of tonight's NHSCA Sports Hour, please feel free to go to the Artist First website, artistfirst.com, click on NHSCA, and all of the shows from the past 7 years are there for you to listen to free and on demand. As far as the High School Football America show coming up, we're coming to you from Atlantic City, home of the 75th annual Maxwell Football Club Gala, and lots of honorees in town for that, starting with the College Football Player of the Year, Andrew Luck, also being honored as Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, Noah Spence, the National High School Football Player of the Year from Bishop McDevitt High School in Pennsylvania, will be in the house. And on the show coming up in just a few minutes will be the Jim Henry Award winner for the Maxwell Football Club, top player in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. His name is Brendan Nosovich from Allentown Central Catholic High School in Pennsylvania. Brendan's going to join us to talk about the award and his college career plans as he heads to the University of South Carolina in the fall to play for Steve Spurrier. He is one of the top all-time quarterbacks in the state of Pennsylvania. Also on the football show tonight, we will have Jeff Bortle. Interesting story is he and his tiny community in Wisconsin raised about $250,000 for a new football stadium that was desperately needed. The high school is Manawa High School, and Jeff Bortle will stop by to talk about how the community kind of stepped up. You know, it's one of those, if you build it, they will come. Well, in this case, it was, if you propose building it, we'll donate, and that's exactly what they did. Also, very, very special tonight, we will replay a broadcast, an interview we did last week with Dan Lindsay and TJ Martin. If you don't know who they are the directors of the high school football movie Undefeated that won a gold medal. No, it wasn't a gold medal. It was a golden statue at the Oscars, but it was kind of a gold medal for high school football as they were honored for Best Documentary, and we interviewed them last Thursday before the show, and a lot of people enjoyed that, so we're going to replay that. So everybody can get a listen to it. So again, that's High School Football America coming up at 7 o'clock. I want to thank all of our guests on tonight's show, starting with Justin Levins. What a wonderful story, a wonderful young man in Prattville, Alabama, the wrestler for Prattville High School. Goes out on the mat with no feet, one hand, and was 36-14 this year, inspiring not only his teammates in the community, but opponents, and just rallying people around him. He's never let that disability, and actually I guess in this case it's several disabilities, prevent him from leading a rewarding and a full life, and going on to college to get into physical therapy to give back and help others. We want to thank Willie Saylor of the Open Mat. Willie Saylor is the editor there, and he got us all the news on what happened last week in the state championships around the country. This is a big, big, big weekend. New Jersey, California, Ohio, Minnesota, Michigan, all holding their individual championships. And then he'll be back next week to talk about Pennsylvania, and then the week after that for the NCAAs, and all the way through the NHSCA championships in Virginia Beach later on this month. So thank you, Willie Saylor. And we want to also thank Chris Cole and congratulate Chris Cole from Barron Academy in Houston. We told the story of how the Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools said, "We're sorry, the Orthodox Jewish school that is Barron Academy, you cannot compete for the 2A championship in boys basketball because you must play on the Sabbath." The semifinals set for Friday night at 9 o'clock, but Taps steps in and says, "We're going to change." Of course, it took a group of citizens independent of the school threatening some legal action to have that happen, but the good news is Barron Academy will have a shot at playing for a 2A boys basketball championship. Want to thank good friend Corey King back in Ohio. Our producer keeps everything running extremely smoothly, so we always thank Corey for that. Want to thank all of our sponsors, XCNation.com, Dr. Jared Spencer, Gatorade's G-Series, GTM Sportswear, the U.S. Navy, Cliff Keen, Dollemure, and All-American Wrestling Supply. Well, this is going to do it for the show, but don't go away. Again, High School Football America coming up in just a few minutes. This is Jeff Fisher saying good night and good sports from Atlantic City, New Jersey. You've been listening to the NHSCA Sports Hour on the Artists First Radio Network.